allegory.
All right. Now I'd like for you to agree with me in prayer and we'll get back to lessons. Is that okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for sensitivity right now to be led by the Spirit. Not to be faithful and aggressive, but to be led carefully by the Spirit into all the things that you'd have for us. Yet, Lord, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to make this lesson very important and valuable to every person here. For those who have a physical problem right now, some kind of a pain or anything of that nature that would interfere with being able to concentrate on the lesson, we cast that pain out right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we take charge of the healing processes and impart those to the people that are here right now. For those who are having some kind of a mental problem or a worry or crying over spilled milk or something like that, we remove and erase the past and give them a better present and a hope for the future. And for those who need an improvement in their job or a new job or a raise or something like that, raise your hands right now. We're going to pray for you. Anybody wants a raise or a new job or something better, raise your hand. In Jesus' name, we impart a raise, a new job or something better right now. In the name of Jesus, we impart, thank you, we impart the faith for an improved economic situation because Jesus came to bring life and that more abundantly. We pray for that abundant life to be manifest in these lives. Now we pray that this lesson will be a very big help to each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the lesson is Allegory. The allegory got raptured. Let me bring it back here. There it is. Allegory. And Betty said, that sounds like allegory. But allegory, I know it's spelled right because I checked it up. It's A-L-L-E. It's gray. Allegory. Now what's an allegory? Somebody tell me. An allegory is a story, and it often uses animals. Did you hear about the alligator and the chicken needed to cross the river? And the chicken got on the back of the alligator and was smiling. And they got to the other side, and then the chicken was inside the alligator, and the alligator was smiling. And these are stories that have to do with, they can also be inanimate objects, but they describe human characteristics. And sometimes we ascribe those characteristics to animals and various other things. You got something? Good. Perfect progress. In fact, when you look at the word allegory in the dictionary, it uses perfect progress as a example of an allegory. Time, speed, and high places. All right, good. All right, so an allegory. Now, the Bible mentions the word allegory. If you turn to it, please, it's in Galatians chapter 4. Now, everybody here has got their lesson legal, don't they? Nobody's without it. All right. Now, somebody read starting in 4 and go to 24 and 25, especially, about this allegory. Galatians 4. Starting with verse 24 and all of 25, we can go a lot in Galatians, but we've got to get the main point first. Who's got it?
Things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generates the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. The entrance to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children.
All right, now the first thing I'd like to call your attention to the fact that there's a mount, and it's called Sinai, and that's an allegory to Hagar. Isn't that right? They're the same. Now, there's also a Jerusalem that now is in that same verse, I believe 25, isn't it? And then a heavenly Jerusalem. And for lack of better, can I just say past, present, future? The past, the Sinai, the present, the Jerusalem that now is, and the future, the heavenly Jerusalem. So let's get a couple on the future heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 14:1. We're just going to get a few of these to bring it together about a future. What about the future? What is this Jerusalem of the future? You remember Mount Zion? Who's got it?
And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead.
Who is the Lamb of God? Jesus Christ is coming from Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. We'll prove that to you in a minute, but Zion and Jerusalem, same thing. In fact, maybe I ought to do that right now. When we talk about Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a city that's built on the top of a mountain. But the mountain has three peaks. You know how mountains do. And the name of the range is the Zion Range. But the name of the southwest peak is Zion. The name of the southern peak is Moriah. And the name of the northern peak is Calvary. Now, if that didn't make sense to you, this is a side view that you look at from the top, and that's where it is. So there are three peaks in Jerusalem. And the word Zion and the word Jerusalem are used interchangeably in the Bible. Have you heard of, we're marching to Zion, beautiful beauty? Anybody ever heard that? It's Zion and Jerusalem. And for those of us who are on the bus going into Jerusalem, when we ascended that hill and going up this way, that's the song that I think Luke had us singing that time when we finally went up and ascended that, made that final ascent into Jerusalem. Because the word Zion and Jerusalem are synonymous. But also the word Moriah, how have you heard of Moriah? They call the winds, how do they call the winds Moriah? Well, because Moriah is the place that Abraham took Isaac. How many have heard of a black Moriah? A hearse, but the Irish banshee is Moriah. Well, if you don't know what the Irish banshee is, that's still a hearse, or the death angel is Moriah. And I think there was a cowboy song about that, too. I can't remember just how it went, but it was along that line. Now, this is where Abraham took Isaac. You remember the story about the boy and the wood and all that kind of stuff. Well, up here in Moriah. Now, I want to also call your attention to the fact that in this verse, though the verse calls out three mountains, a past one with Sinai, a present one with the Jerusalem that now is, and the future one of the future Jerusalem that's yet to come. When we study the mountains carefully, we find that the one that now is has three peaks, and studying Mount Sinai, where is it? The second one here. I guess the third one down. The three peaks of Mount Sinai are Horeb, Jebel Musa, M-U-S-A, which is a Arabic word for Moses. Jebel is mountain, Musa is Moses, the Mount of Moses, and also Mount Catherine. And this Mount Catherine is one of the peaks where the, I think it's Greek Byzantine Catholics, but it might be Romans. Well, I think it's more like the Greeks have got this monastery here so that people who are studying Moses and all that kind of stuff can have a place to go. Now, there's been some argument about what happened on each one of these peaks, and I don't think it's too important because the peaks are so close together, you can see one from the other, and I'm not going to try to get into settling the big theological argument that the authors have about who did what, but on Mount Horeb, we know that Moses went up to the Mount Horeb, and there God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Do you remember that story? He was up on the top of this Sinai, So the word, what is that word? Horeb and Sinai are the same word. I find this like Zion and Jerusalem are the same word. Horeb and Sinai meaning the same thing. And I just batting my gums and you know what I'm talking about now. There are three words that mean Sinai and three words that mean Jerusalem as we get into the lesson. So one of the problems that I'm having, and that's the reason I had to write so many things here, is that when I talk about any one of these things, you've got to know what I'm talking about. See, and it's kind of complicated, so before we get to the good part of the lesson, we have to work out a few of these details. So we've got the burning bush, and here's Moses, come to the burning bush, and God says, take off your shoes, you remember that story, and so you go back into Egypt, and he says, who will I tell him sent me, and you said, I am. I ought to settle that. Well, how you feel, somebody said, just tell him I am, that's my name, I am. If you study that carefully, it says, I am whatever I want to be. That's the name of God. God is whatever he wants to be. He can be healer. He can be provider. He can be the future maker. You understand all of these attributes. He can be whatever he wants to be. Because he's boss. You just say, I am sent you. And you remember the story about, he said, well, I stutter and all that kind of stuff. So he pointed Aaron. This all happened there at that time. But he went on back. And here's an interesting thing. From the time he had been up on Mount Horeb, burning bush, it wasn't much, I doubt if it, or I'm not positive, but I don't think it was much more than 3 or 4 months. Back in Egypt, he gets the guys out, and now he's right back to the mount again. But this time it's called Sinai, and when he goes up to Sinai, he gets the law. Do you happen to remember when Moses received the law from God? Well, there's a scripture. Somebody turn to this right now. I think it'll be easier and quicker this way. Can you do Exodus 19:1, I think. Somebody read that to me.
Months after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came to the wilderness of Sinai.
And the wilderness of Sinai is the bottom of the mount. They're headed up. Now everybody knows the Sinai Peninsula is bordered on one side by that Suez Canal and the Red Sea and all that kind of stuff, and on the other side by the Aqaba. Well, it's the present nation of Arab, help me out, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, that's where it is right now. It's a peninsula, upside down pyramid. And so he was down kind of at the bottom, and it says in the third month, is that right? Really? Now, if you'll study that out in the third month, do you remember when they started from Egypt? What was later on given as a holiday to commemorate the start? Passover. Passover commemorates. Now, why do they eat the bread without the leaven? Because we have to remind the children that we were in such a hurry to leave that night. You know, the Jewish father and Jewish child go through this thing during the Passover feast. Father, like, you know, well, you remember, even though you don't. Well, that's the whole thing. We eat the unleavened bread because we're in a hurry that night, you know. And they had to eat all of the land. And they had to take the blood and over there, folks, because the angel would, what's the next word I want? Pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That will bring your salvation. So the blood brings the salvation. Egypt, that was the time of the shadow that was yet to come. Remember? All right, now. So they left, and now it took in the third month. But do you remember it only took 10 days to get to the promised land? From the time they left Egypt, they went all the way straight across Sinai, right up to Jordan, and they sent 12 spies across the river. Remember the story? They came back, never see the reports. They all said it was a marvelous land. They all said it was a land that flows with milk and honey. They all said it would be a beautiful place to inhabit. Build houses and raise children and set up farms. But Tim said, there are giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers. They said that. We're grasshoppers in their sight. And they'll eat our children. They actually said, the Israelites said that the grasshoppers, that the giants would eat the children. Maybe that's where we get that English thing, fee, fi, fo, fi, mi, smell the blood of it. I grind those bones to, you remember that? Well, I don't, but anyway, they got scared of the giants. So now, they took a vote. And he said, shall we go up and take the land? And after they tabulated all the votes from the voting machines, and ABC projected the trends as the various precincts were reporting, they discovered it was 600,000 against going in the land, and only 2 were for going in and taking the land. Now, can you imagine? 600,000 to 2. You'd think those 2 guys would have just switched their vote to get along. No, sir. What were their names? Caleb and Joshua said, well able to go up and take the country. Then, God said, all right, that's just the way it's going to be. And so he said, instead of 10 days to get over here, it's going to take you 40 years. And in that 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, it'll be 40 years where every one of the 600,000 that has voted against me is going to die. And the 2 are going to go in. And so it was 40 years later, one man a little over 80 and another man 85 years of age. In all of Israel, the oldest of all the rest of Israel was 40. Can you imagine a whole group of people now in the millions of these guys, and the oldest one is 40, save 2. Both of them are 80s. Both of them are the leaders. Caleb and Joshua are in the room, you see, because they're the ones who set it out, they remember it, they have the continuity of the story. And so they went in. But then they had to turn around and go back and start the wilderness journey. Now that here they are in the 3rd month, back down at the bottom of the wilderness. They left Egypt, they've gone all the way up to the promised land, now they're back down at the bottom of the Sinai again, and they're at that mountain that where Moses had met God the first time, but it's in the 3rd month. Well now, if you finish 2 months, how many days you got? If you finish 2 months, you got 2/30s. 60, but the Feast of Passover is 14 days into the 1st month, whether that makes sense to you or not. So you subtract 14 or 15 from 16, what do you got? 35, that means you've got to go into the 3rd month and add about 5 days to get into the 3rd month. It says they were in the 3rd month after they left. So this will give them how many days since they left? 35 plus 5. 50. Am I going too fast? Looks like I did, but anyway, so. But that means that 50 days after they left Egypt, they were here. Now, it only took about 10 days to get where it should have been. Then I have to fool around the back, and 50
means after Passover is seven, the Feast of Pentecost. But this was before the Feast of Pentecost, but they landed and they're now at Mount Zion doing what you and I would refer to as the Feast of Pentecost. And the law is given to Israel at the first Pentecost. The law came down from God out of heaven to Israel at Pentecost. What's the teacher trying to... What's the point? The Pentecostals are still under this mixture of law and grace called the gospel of the circumcision. It's where we still are at the second feast. You got to get to the third one before you're all the way free from the law. Now, did you follow that allegory? Well, if that didn't make sense, how many of you